Welcome to the Culture Curators Podcast. We're here to share insight, information, and resources to help you become a more effective salon business owner. Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we have a great topic, and it's all around clarity in your culture. And I think one of the first things is we need to define what culture is. And how do we know if we have clarity around it? How do we know if our team has clarity around it? How do we know if our culture is great or if it's lacking?
Yeah. You know, your culture is, it's like the lifeblood of the business in a lot of ways. You know, it's the energy, it's the feeling, it's the standards, the principles, the values that your business stands on. And it is the operational procedures and structure that happens within an organization. So when I think about culture, you know, I always kind of go to sports. You know, great teams have great culture, right? So it was always, you always heard about, now I'm not a fan, don't get it twisted, but the Patriots, right? I'm from New York, so I'm a Giant fan, but the Patriots culture, right? If you are an NBA fan, the Heat culture, Miami Heat or San Antonio Spurs, you know, Yankees in New York, you know, these things, they're synonymous. These teams are synonymous with great, great cultures. And what is also a common thread in a great culture is clarity.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really curious, because I don't follow those teams, what is it about those teams that make it a great culture?
It's actually really interesting, because if you are a football fan and you just saw that Bill Belichick just retired, all of his former players, you know, came out and talked a lot about what that culture was about. And a lot of times a great culture involves discipline, you know, and not just discipline as far as, you know, like getting in trouble or consequences. I mean, just discipline, like in your work ethic, in a standard. There's a standard, a level of expectation that's very high. It's a high bar that's set. And using the Patriots as that example, you know, a lot of times during it, you don't love it, right? It's hard. It's challenging. It pushes you. But it pushes you to your greatest potential. And that's what so many of those players were talking about, how they would have never been able to be the best version of themselves without that. And that even though that at times it felt cumbersome, they look back on it with great value. And I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind as a leader and as an owner, that you're not going to, it's not going to always be valued at that moment. And that's right. Going to push you sometimes to question if you should conform or if you're being too strict or certain things. And you do have to ask those things to make sure that you're not. You don't want a militant culture. That's not going to work either. But a culture that is healthy and a culture that has clarity, everyone understands their roles. Everyone understands what the main vision and goal is. And everyone's pushing towards that. And what happens is when people don't, they stand out like a sore thumb. You know, it's like you can't hide in the weeds in that kind of a culture, because it's so clear.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you really nailed a couple of things. Clarity around expectations. Clarity around what is my lane? Mm-hmm. What is each person's lane within the organization? What is the owner's lane? What can you expect from them? What can you not expect from them? If you have management, if you have assistants or associates, whatever you call them, if you have front desk and then the service team, everybody needs to know and be very, very clear on what their job is. Yeah. And what they can expect from everybody else within the organization.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, the reality is that when there is clarity, when everyone understands, it creates peace and calmness a lot of the time. Now, that doesn't make it perfect, and it doesn't make it that you're not going to have challenges and struggles. Of course you are. But again, everyone really understands what the role is. And this is really key as well. It starts with interview one. You know, creating right. The type of clarity that you need for a really healthy culture and for a clear culture, it starts in interview one, so that this person is like, wow, I'm talking to someone, whoever's interviewing them, that is a part of an organization that's different than what I've experienced in the past. Or if they've maybe been an employee of a great culture, they're like, wow, this reminds me of the great culture that I used to be a part of.
Yeah, and it makes me think about how, you know, a hot topic right now is hiring and recruiting.
Yeah.
And everybody's looking for great quality employees to come on board with them. And I think that a key is interview number one. What is the culture? Sharing that culture, because you're so right. Most other people, whether it's the salon owner or the manager that's interviewing, doesn't do that. It's about setting yourself and your business and your team apart from everybody else.
Yeah.
And it really starts with us as the owner, and it starts with us being consistent in holding people accountable to what the culture is and what their job description is, what the expectations, responsibilities are. And we have to drive that bus as business owners.
Yeah, and you can't hold someone accountable to something that they're unclear about.
Absolutely.
You can only hold them accountable to something that's very clear that they've agreed to. So if you have a very clear interviewing and then onboarding process, the onboarding process has to include a clear job description, which sounds so simple, but it's actually shocking how many people we talk to that don't have that. And when they do, how much it changes things. Because also for me as the leader, as the owner, I want to know what they expect of me. I want them to know what to expect of me, and vice versa.
Right.
And then we need to hold each other to that. So when you're a leader, it's honestly, it's out of bounds for you as a leader to be frustrated by things that people don't do or do that you didn't give them clear direction on.
For sure, for sure. And I think that you brought up a really valid point, and that is, as a business owner, do you have a job description? As a business owner, as a business leader, you need to have a job description, because that's the only way your team is going to have clarity around what they can expect from you. And you're so right, because we coach a lot of different people. And I would say, I'm just guessing, but I'm going to say at least 85% of them never had job descriptions prior to working with us.
Yeah.
And how can you hold anybody responsible for anything if you don't have a written agreement in place?
Well, there's also nothing worse. There's no worse feeling as an employee. And this is really important. When you're an owner, you've been an employee, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to remember what it felt like to be on that side of the table. It's so easy. Like human nature, it pushes us to right where we are at this moment, and we forget about anything else. So meaning, if you've ever worked for someone that had, and you had unclear expectations, there's nothing worse than feeling like someone's upset with you or frustrated with you, and you don't necessarily know why or what you did wrong. And like, that can actually become really negative in a culture.
Yeah.
And the communication just breaks down that way.
Yeah, I think it's trying to hit a moving target.
Right.
You can't hit a target that you don't know what it is.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, to talk about what are some of the things that we can do to have a better culture. And I think one of the things is what we're talking about. Does it ensure that everybody has a job description?
Yep.
And it's not necessarily a once and done. You take a look at it, you review it, you may revise it yearly, whatever it is. And then you actually bring that job description into the interview process, bring it into the onboarding process. There should be no surprises or no like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was part of my job.
There shouldn't be. And if and when there are, right, because you might make mistakes,
sure,
you have to own it and handle it the right way. And this is where clarity is key. The most, and to me, the most important thing about clarity is that you are communicating to your team. You don't want them guessing what you're thinking.
Boy.
You want them to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And better over-communicate than under-communicate, right?
Right.
Like, I'd rather talk too much than too little in those kind of scenarios, because I want to make sure, and John Maxwell talks about this all the time, it's repetition.
Yes.
So it's just like with your children. If you're a parent, do you get frustrated by having to repeat yourself over and over? Of course, it happens. But you also know as a parent, you're going to repeat yourself a lot with children, because you're going to keep saying the same thing to help kind of drill it into their minds in a good way of what's acceptable behavior, what's not. And I think when you're dealing with kids, it really helps you understand, like, this is human behavior. So we've talked about this on other episodes where what you allow is what you encourage, right? So if you are allowing a atmosphere or an environment or culture of confusion, think about what the repercussions and consequences of that are going to be.
Well, I mean, to me, it's not only that, but it's what is the guest experience going to be like, mm-hmm. and what is it going to look right. like, and how does that impact that? How does it impact salon retention?
Yep.
How does that impact your bottom line? It's a rippling effect in the salon, and it can be disastrous, quite honestly, or it can be amazingly great.
Right.
If you've got that culture and you've got everything in line and everybody knows and is clear and you're holding everyone accountable, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and this is the kicker. It's like you can have all the job descriptions that you want. You could have that on paper, but if you're not consistently reinforcing it, then it doesn't really matter. So
right.
the reality is that you have to own when people are kind of falling out of line with the protocol, maybe stepping out of bounds with certain things, doing things that aren't in line with the clarity that you have created. And if you've owned a salon for a really long time and you haven't had those things, well, then what we typically recommend or what we coach a lot of our clients to do is create a reset. And right. I've done that in my own business multiple times. I think it's a really great thing to do consistently, mm-hmm. like even once a year, where sometimes it's a refreshing of, you know, the standards. But a lot of times it's also when you refresh, you kind of reset also. So there might be some things that have changed, some things that you've added or taken away. You know, you want your team. Well, let's kind of move in this direction too. What categories would you say, like we said job description, right? But what other categories would you say are really important to be clear on for your employees so that there's no guessing? I have one now. Like one I'm thinking is time off policy. Right?
Okay, so what you're talking about policies, yeah, and
like
policies and procedures.
Exactly. What specific areas do they need like real clarity on? What is my exact compensation? I don't want to be confused on how I'm compensated.
Correct.
I don't want to be confused on my time off policy. And if there is a time off, see, I experienced this, so that's why it kind of hits for me. It's like there was a time off policy, but then when I followed it, the owner like would get, I could just tell the body language would change when I was requesting something, even within bounds. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that created confusion for me.
Right.
If you create something and the person's following it, then there should be a smoothness, not a bumpiness to that. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so when you look at, do you have a policy and procedure manual? And that's not to say you're going to live and die by that. And that's the only thing. There's a human factor in right. all of this.
So
but you have to have guidelines. You yeah. have to. Everybody needs to know, when can I ask for time off? Can I ask for time off? We work with a salon where they can have 1 hour a day off, and it can be the last hour of every day. It can be the first hour of every day. That would be really important as the culture to know that, because imagine if not everybody was on the same page and Derek was marking out an hour to leave early every single day and I didn't know that. And I'm like, why does he get to do that? And I don't. There's disruption then in that mm-hmm. culture. So it's about time off. It's about education and how that works.
Yep.
It's about team meetings. How often do I have them? Am I expected to be there? Are they in person? Are they virtual? Are they a combination? And I think one of the things that I want to ask you, Derek, is do you believe that culture that everybody is a part of developing certain aspects of the culture?
100%. I think that's where employees, and again, you have to, as the leader, explain this to them. Every single team member plays a vital role in the overall culture and has a responsibility to uphold it. Let's go back to the example of the Patriots, right? Every single player had a responsibility to uphold the culture that they've committed to, that they signed up for. And the reality is, if you've signed up for it, if it's not working for you, then get out. Don't stay in it and then drag your feet through it. Because now what you're doing is you're dragging the whole entire culture down. It's that same old saying where it's like, weakest link. Like you're only as strong as your weakest link. And that's a fact. When you're trying to push a business in a certain direction, and when we talk about a certain direction, we mean that you're creating client satisfaction, employee satisfaction, and happiness, and you know, this joy that they experience together, an overall uplifting environment for everybody involved. That it only, again, another saying, it only takes one bad apple.
Right.
And it's just so true that if you are not conscious as the leader of monitoring these things and making sure that you stay committed to actually connecting around this clarity, then it's going to slip really quickly.
It's like good luck.
Yeah.
You know, God bless you and good luck. So, you know, I don't want people to think that culture is only about rules and regulations, that it's only about policies and procedures or job descriptions. It's not just that. It's also about the vibe of the culture. It's about the feel when you walk in. 100%. It's about the weakest team member. It's about the greatest team member. It's about the whole, it's like an all inclusivity.
Yeah. And it's not just about like time off and things like that. Those are components. Yes. But it's also about what conversations are not allowed in the back room. Mm. You know, is gossiping tolerated in your business? Mm-hmm. It is, you know, because again, those type of things then become a part of the fabric of your culture. And you have to decide if you're, what you're okay with and what you're not. And you also have to decide that what you do matters the most. Right? You as the leader, if you're a stylist listening to this, you as the stylist, especially if you're a top producer, people are going to follow you. People are going to watch what you're doing, how you're doing it. So the owner could be saying X, Y, Z about the culture, but if four top team members that have been on the team for a long time are disregarding five of the eight things the owner is talking about, well, there's a disconnect in the culture then.
Well, there is a disconnect, but the fact is that becomes a culture.
That even better.
Yeah.
Very true.
That becomes a culture. So you as a business owner may think that you have the culture because you have it all outlined or whatever. And then you have the scenario that Derek's talking about. And the bottom line is your culture is not what you think it is. It's what it has become.
So true. You know, again, going back to sports, it's like I think about teams like that you hear about that are the exact opposite of what I was describing before. And there are professional sports teams that are multi-billion dollar organizations that mm-hmm. are run like that, right? So there's a lack of accountability. There's a lack of, you know, the right attitude from all players, making, you know, having the right kind of work ethic. Kobe Bryant always talked about this, like, keep those people away from me, he would say. It's like he had no time, no room for the laziness. And then those type of players kind of gravitate to certain type of teams. And no wonder those teams are organizations that are losing organizations. So you have to ask yourself, do I want to be a winning organization? Mm. And when we say winning organization, we don't just mean about the bottom line. It's about what we're talking about with the culture. It's about what type of people are you attracting? What kind of clients are you bringing in? Also, all of these things are connected because it's connected to the culture of the business. And all of those things matter greatly for the overall environment that you're producing and that you're creating. Oh, what just happened there? There must have been a fly. Listen, we keep it rolling. We just keep going no matter what. It's all good.
It's the wine. The bug wants a little sip of the wine.
That's hilarious. We're not going to edit that out. We're keeping that in for sure.
Oh, my God. You know, this is what it's about. It's about keeping it real, right?
That's it, man.
And so we're talking about real shit. We're talking about culture, which is so important. And, you know.
Coming to my side now, I think. I just saw it.
Oh, that was very good, Derek. But you know what? What we're doing right now, that's our culture. That's what we're about. We're about the realness, and we're about just being who we are.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
Absolutely.
And that's what your culture is. What people observe and what they walk into is what they get. And I think that Derek made such a huge point at the very beginning of this episode, and it's around that first interview. And so oftentimes we hire out of desperation. Because hiring and recruiting, it's really, really difficult. It's more difficult perhaps now than it used to be. I don't know. The verdict's still out on that one. But because we're desperate, we tend to forego certain things. And in foregoing certain things, we start to tamper with our culture. And
oh my goodness.
A very dangerous
it's so true.
Spot to be.
And because if you skip the steps of your protocol, you're defining a new culture. And that's really dangerous, right? So if you talk about consistency in experience for employees and you want a consistent dynamic for employees, you have to think about what does the interview process look like? Is that consistent across the board with everybody? Are you asking the same questions? Are they getting the same experience? And then if and when they're hired, what does the onboarding process look like? Is the onboarding process where it's like you have almost like a list of FAQs,
right,
and everything is answered for them. Every question that they could possibly have is answered for them. And many, many times if I'm interviewing, I'll ask, like, is there anything that you have that you need more clarity around? And they're like, wow, you know, I might have some questions over as I kind of digest right. all of this. But yeah. right now, it feels like you've answered everything on the front end. And you really, really want to think about that because, again, you're setting the tone for the type of experience that this person is going to have with you as a business owner and as a leader. You're setting the dynamic of the whole relationship together. And you're also letting them know that you're bringing them into – you're letting them know what type of culture you're bringing them into.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that they feel – what that culture is from the beginning,
right.
and how we always talk about exceeding our clients' expectations.
Right, right.
What it would be possible if you started exceeding your new team members' expectations?
Isn't that a thought?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, so we encourage you.
Culture becomes a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And we encourage you to really, really take a look at the clarity that's either lacking in the culture or that's there and help to really continue to identify and maximize the type of clarity that you create for your team, because that's the way that you're going to get just great, great, great people that are happy to come to work, that you can enjoy, that they can enjoy you. And again, you create that sense of calmness because there's a lack of confusion.
Yeah. I hope that this episode brought some thoughts to your mind, some, I have to think about that,
yeah.
Some clarity around what culture is, what culture is not. And I hope that you really take all of this and you take a hard look at your culture, find out what's working, continue to do that, and find out what you may need to tweak and or improve
yeah.
to make it an even better culture.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for listening. We will see you on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Culture Curators Podcast. Please like, comment, follow, and subscribe.